This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
An appropriate tune to bring us in on a Saturday afternoon. What's up, DMV? How's everybody doing today? 106.7 The Fan is on your AM-FM dial. It's on the radio.com app, and it's also on our stream at thefandc.com. However, you're tuned in today. We appreciate you hanging out with us for a little bit. My name is Danny Noakes. Ryan Clary over there producing the show. And yeah, enter Sandman on a Saturday. It's familiar for a lot of people in the Commonwealth of Virginia, and that's of course, the entrance song for the Virginia Tech Hokies, who getting set to take on the Pittsburgh Panthers at 4 p.m. today. I bring it up right at the top of the show because we're with you up until 2:30. We lead you into Virginia Tech pregame coverage. John Lazor, the voice of the Hokies, Tech Hall of Famer Mike Burnup, and Wes McElroy on the sidelines. They will have the call right here on your flagship home for Virginia Tech in the District 106.7, The Fan. But there's so much more to get to today, and I'm jacked up to be here. Driving up 95 gets pretty old pretty quick, but when you have this as the finish line, it's not so bad because we get to chop it up here for the next 2.5 hours. I've got Washington football team that I want to get to. Shockingly, we actually have some headlines out of the Washington Wizards franchise to talk about today. There are some rumors and reports that are circling around. They've really been starting to gain traction over the last few days, but nothing happening as of yet. Still some interesting things to get into, and not to mention, of course, we have the Washington football team in action tomorrow against the Cincinnati Bengals, who AWOD sure is confident in right now, ladies and gentlemen. I give him credit for being that positive because I certainly am not, and it's not as though I think that the Washington football team is the worst team in the league, because I don't believe that. I think it's pretty clearly the New York Jets. They're pretty much an embarrassment to the National Football League right now, but so is the entire NFC East. And so for that reason, we haven't seen a consistent performance out of any of those teams. Dallas, Philly, New York, Washington. None of them have been able to play consistently this year. And that's why it's really hard for me to put my faith in Washington, even in a game against a rookie quarterback tomorrow, Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals. This smells like a game that could actually get away from them. And it's because Joe Burrow is a very explosive quarterback already. I mean, we've seen flashes of it. Cincinnati's not very good, don't get me wrong. And his number one target now, T. Higgins, who's also a rookie out of Clemson, they can't necessarily take over a game yet. Still, Washington has really shown the ability to get burned, and that's nothing new. Kendall Fuller is very good. No more Landon Collins this season. They've been missing him for a while. I think you've seen that, and the results over the last couple of weeks have reflected how much they do, in fact, miss him. But there are still some positives to look at. I mean, I think Montez Sweat has really taken a big step forward. Chase Young may not be jumping off the screen like we hoped that he would at the start of the season, but he's still pretty disruptive on almost every single down. You can't expect him to get in the backfield every single play. And it was, I think, Labor Day weekend. It was my first show back here after having 6 months off because of COVID, not being able to come into the studio. But one of the things I talked about was how Montez Sweat's rookie season is almost identical to TJ Watt's, the Pittsburgh Steelers, and maybe the best defensive player in the league this year. Maybe not overall, because Aaron Donald would have something to say about that. So would a few other guys. But if you look at the numbers, and game's not all about numbers, but if you look at them, they're pretty darn similar. And so to see Montez Sweat taking that step forward, like you would have hoped, is positive. You still need to see more from Chase. You got to see more from John Allen, Deron Payne. But losing a guy like Matt Ioannidis too a couple of weeks ago, it's just a season where there's so many different things going on. If you have high expectations, I would advise you to lower them. And I imagine most people around here don't have high expectations. I feel like I'm speaking directly to AWOD, who just got off the air talking about how he believes Washington is not only going to go in and beat Cincinnati tomorrow, but they're also going to come back on Thursday on a short week and beat the Cowboys in Dallas on Thanksgiving. That's some serious confidence right there. And his points, his keys to victory, I think those are all fair. And if Washington is able to accomplish those things, yeah, absolutely. They're going to have a great shot to win. But I've watched them now in this Detroit game from last weekend and the Giants game, the first Giants game, because the first Giants game is the one that's stuck right in the middle of my skull that I can't get out of my head, and the way that they really just kind of gave the game away, despite the fact that they had to come back and put themselves in a position to tie it only to try the two-point conversion, which failed, and ended up losing them the game. Well, another comeback that fell just short last week against the Detroit Lions, where they put up a late score only to allow the Lions to come down and kick the game-winning field goal. I don't have any confidence. It's not like we should. This is a young team. This is a young, developing team with a brand new head coach in the middle of a pandemic. Most of the players on the defensive side of the ball that people were pumping up before the season are either first, second, maybe some third-year players. Landon Collins was an all-pro in New York, sure, but he's still trying to figure things out, being the go-to guy on a defense that has high expectations. But no matter what was going to happen offensively, we knew the quarterback position was going to dictate whether this was another bad season or a slightly better season, or maybe even an average season, right? A 7-9 record was, I think, the ceiling for this team. Had there been no injuries, had there been no issues at quarterback, if Haskins came out, he had vastly improved from last year. Terry's doing what he's doing now. He's been amazing and is becoming an all-star. Antonio Gibson, he's also really flourishing. Came out of the gate a little bit slow, but he's really starting to find his feet. If all of that came together, then yeah, maybe they would have won 6 or 7 games. And I'm not saying that it's not possible now, because the NFC East is so bad. But the expectation that it's going to happen, I can't have it. I can't place it upon them myself. I cannot do it. But what would encourage me, as both a fan of the team and as someone that covers the team, if you want to cover a team that actually wins games, plays in meaningful games, let's see the defense start to... And they're one of the top units on paper. They do get beat deep sometimes, but you see it from Washington's Twitter account. It's not BS. Jack Del Rio retweeting it or whatnot. It is a top 10 unit in a number of different categories. Let's see him start to create some turnovers. Let's see him start to get in the backfield a little bit more. Make some game-changing plays. The best players in the league, like Aaron Donald, Khalil Mack, TJ Watt, it's not just about being disruptive, because that's part of it. And it's not just about getting sacks. It's not just about getting turnovers or forcing fumbles. You have to combine all of that into one formula to really get a playmaker of that caliber. And that's the expectation for somebody like Chase Young. And if he can get the complement of a Montez Sweat on top of having Jonathan Allen and Payne plugging up the middle, Ioannidis comes back next year, hopefully a little bit healthier. He's had some injury problems throughout his career now. Well, then you might have something. Their linebackers are weak. The linebackers is the weakest position group on the field. And in the defensive backfield, there's some talent there, but they keep getting beat by receivers really that aren't even that good sometimes. I mean, Detroit has a couple of guys that are, I would say, above average, but Kendall Fuller just won a Super Bowl and had the game-sealing interception in the Super Bowl. I think he's ready to take that next leap to being a Pro Bowl superstar. Not necessarily even a superstar. They just need him to be a consistently very good cornerback. I don't have the faith that Washington wins. I have more faith that Washington wins against Dallas on the road than I do that they win at home tomorrow against Cincinnati. And it has more so to do with the fact that Dallas is really struggling at quarterback right now. They've got all sorts of problems of their own. Not to mention you have the fact that a lot of players are taking shots at the coaching staff, saying they're not prepared or that they just straight up aren't very good at their jobs. If we're making predictions, I predict Washington loses tomorrow, but I'll go ahead and say that they do come up with a win on Thanksgiving. That'll be tougher, though, because they got to go on the road to do it. Not impossible. What's better around here than Washington, formerly the Redskins, winning a game on Thanksgiving against Dallas? It's a pretty darn good feeling. The last time we got that matchup a few years ago, it didn't go so well. So I'm hoping for a better time this year. And I'll be down in the Outer Banks this week for Thanksgiving. Really looking forward to that. It'll be a blast. My folks and my two brothers are already on their way down there. But things could really go south if Washington comes out, and just absolutely stinks it up. Embarrassing, can't get anything going. That's the sort of thing that you can't do. I think that Cincinnati, as a young team, will see Washington as vulnerable. They're going to put Alex Smith back out there. And I think that they'll end up winning in similar fashion that Detroit did. Prove me wrong, though, please. Because it would be just unfathomable if Washington found a way to win the NFC East with 6 or 7 wins this year. It would break reality. I would figure we were in some alternate dimension. And if they're able to do that, amazing. I'm rooting for it, but I don't see it happening. We got lots more to get into today. Two guests coming up at the top of the next hour, 1 p.m. and 1:30. I'll let you know who they are. But coming up next, the Washington Wizards. I mentioned it's not often that we have something to talk about surrounding a franchise that's been irrelevant without John Wall for the last year and change. Well, John has been a topic of conversation over the last few days. The Wizards had the 9th overall pick. They took a guy out of Israel, not to mention Cassius Winston from Michigan State. We're going to break all of that down coming up next on 106.7 The Fan. Danny Noakes with you on 106.7 The Fan, hanging out until 2:30. That's when Virginia Tech football pregame coverage will start. Virginia Tech at Pittsburgh today. There was some interesting headlines, of course, coming out of the state of Pennsylvania. Teams were not sure, both in the National Football League and college football, if players playing in the state of Pennsylvania were going to have to wear a face covering, a neck gaiter, face mask while actually playing the game. And the last I saw this morning, actually, Virginia Tech was not going to have to wear masks during the game under their face masks. Normal sideline protocol, I'm sure, will be in place, but that's just something to monitor. Definitely don't want to get into a conversation about that whole thing right now. Trust me, that's not where I'm trying to go. In fact, I do have some other stuff that I just want to clean up, get out there, set up and whatnot. If you want to get at me on Twitter, you can do so at Danny Noakes, DannyNokes. Tweet me if you've got a question, comment, question, concern, whatever. You just want to give your thoughts on something that we're talking about. I mentioned that we do have two guests coming up later today. Dwight Vick, former Virginia Tech offensive lineman at 1, and then RJ Anderson of CBS Sports Major League Baseball at 1:30. Some good stuff to get to there. But I also mentioned that we were going to talk some Washington Wizards. And since I started doing shows here at 106.7 last December, I don't know if I've mentioned the Wizards more than in a passing sense over that 11-month span. And we actually have a reason to today. And there are a couple of different reasons why. First of all, we'd like to wish a happy birthday to NBA Hall of Famer and Bullets legend Earl the Pearl Monroe. How about that? Earl the Pearl's number 10 hangs in the rafters at Capital One Arena. So happy birthday to him. Speaking of birthdays, by the way, our producer Ryan Clary is going to be turning 21 on Monday, Ryan. Is that correct?
It's a week from this Monday, okay. But I got it mixed up there.
So you're about 9 days from turning the big 2-1.
Yep, 9 days.
That's got to be a good feeling. Now, it would be a much better feeling if the circumstances were any different because, well, we all know what we celebrate when we turn 21, correct? We like to have a few adult beverages, some libations, what have you. And getting into a bar these days is just not as easy. It's not as fun. It's somewhat frowned upon. But the good thing is, buddy, you'll still be able to go out, grab a six-pack if you want to, whatever, you know, a handle of liquor, whatever you got. So you'll still get to be able to do that when you turn 21. And I don't know if your residence is in the state of Virginia, but if it is, I believe you can get alcohol the day before you turn 21. It's an odd little quirk about the law in the state of Virginia. I don't know. But I remember when I turned 21. It wasn't that long ago. It was 6 years ago. But it was a great time. And I actually had the chance to go to some of those bars. So I feel bad that you can't get to celebrate the way that you should. But I hope you still have fun. You deserve it. I know you work hard over here at the station. Everybody does, all the producers and whatnot. And a happy early birthday to you, just in case I don't see you before then, pal.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
Absolutely. Now, everything else going on with the Washington Wizards right now is interesting, to say the least, is it not? I mean, we had the draft a couple of nights ago. Denny Avdija from Israel is the 9th overall pick for Washington. Some experts called it a steal that he fell to Washington at 9. I imagine for most of you, though, it doesn't really move the needle because it certainly didn't for me. Now, obviously, when European players get drafted into the NBA or just players from overseas coming from whatever country that they come from, not necessarily all coming from Europe, it's hard to gauge it's harder to gauge what their NBA career might look like versus somebody that plays Division I college basketball. That's because we get to watch Division I college basketball all season long through, well, it's about to start in a couple of days. We're about to get college basketball. So the middle to end of November, all the way through the end of March, and of course, the first week in April when we have the national championship. We're watching college basketball. We're consuming it. We generally have a very good idea who the best players in the college game are, but then whose games will also transition better to the pros, who will be the better NBA players. And so we don't have much on this Denny guy, unless you've really had the chance to kind of sit down, watch some of his film, which I haven't had the chance to do, but he's got some length. He's very tall, 6'9", 225. He's solidly built. So if he can turn into a guy that could be an outside shooting threat, but also help him down on the low post and getting some rebounds and whatnot, then he could be a really valuable asset to the team, I think. But as I would really say is the case with most guys, not just coming out of college, coming over from overseas, wherever, a lot of times it takes them a few years before they really become huge contributors on their team. There are obviously some outliers. Like, you know, had Zion Williamson been a little bit more healthy, we saw the impact that he can make for the New Orleans Pelicans right away. We saw what LeBron did for Cleveland in 2003. We saw what Kevin Durant did for Oklahoma City, or I guess Seattle. Wow. Kevin Durant's rookie year was with the Seattle Supersonics. You really have to go back. I had an image flashback to college, and one of my roommates used to have a Sonics Kevin Durant jersey. I had to correct myself there. But obviously, there are players that can come in and make an immediate impact. I don't know if Denny will be that guy. I hope that he is. At number 9 overall, the NBA is a little bit different than the NFL in terms of what you expect from guys that you have just drafted and the impact you expect them to make. NBA careers are generally longer. But if he could turn into all the things that I just said, I think it's great. And then Cassius Winston out of Michigan State, obviously a savvy player, very solid point guard, well coached by Tom Izzo there playing for the Spartans. I liked the pick. It kind of reminds me of Shabazz Napier, even though they didn't draft him. Shabazz did play over here in 2020. But they're the same type of guards where very, very good in college, elite in college, but they don't have great size. They're not necessarily great shooters. They're not necessarily exceptional at anything, but they're very, very good at a number of things. And so Cassius Winston provides them some depth at guard, and that might be important if Washington does end up dealing John Wall. Now, if they were to deal John Wall, they would obviously command some significant assets in return. And the name that was thrown around in the middle to late part of this week was Russell Westbrook, former MVP, the Rockets guard who had recently teamed up with James Harden to try and go chase a championship in Houston. But now James Harden wants out. He's begging, apparently, to go to Brooklyn and play with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, which, can you imagine watching that trio play? It'd be, the NBA is already almost entirely ISO ball, right? But if it was Durant, Kyrie, and James Harden, you might as well just not even put the other two guys out on the floor. Just play 3-on-5. Let James Harden, KD, and Kyrie just dribble out the shot clock, pull up from where they're ever going to go, or drive. That's just what I picture happening. Obviously, it's a little over-exaggerated, but how far over-exaggerated would that really be? But back to Houston, potentially swapping Westbrook and Wall. Now, Washington would have to give up somebody else, potentially a draft pick, if that trade were going to happen. Because Russell Westbrook is a better player than John Wall. And I remember my brother texted me when this rumor first came out and said, "Hey, did you hear about this?" And my first thought was, I don't know if I want to see Russ playing for the Wizards. Because, yes, he gets all the stats in the world. He's a triple-double machine. He's a very good player, former MVP. He's very much elite. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. But he hasn't won anything, right? There are generally more knocks against Russell Westbrook than there are positive things said, which might not be fair, by the way, considering he is a former MVP and you look at his numbers. But some people would say he pads his stats. I actually, as I was listening to the Junkies on Thursday, Friday morning, I kind of relented on that opinion a little bit in that, yeah, maybe if it were an opportunity for Washington and GM Tommy Shepard to make the deal, maybe Westbrook coming to DC would be in their best interest. And then we got this report from either late last night, maybe early this morning, but it was from Sham Sharania, who said, quote, on Twitter, "As Rockets-Wizards talks on Russell Westbrook for John Wall stall, Wall has made it clear he wants a trade out of Washington to happen. Sources tell The Athletic and Stadium," end quote. Again, that's on Twitter. Sham Sharania, who covers the league. So Westbrook for Wall might be starting to fizzle out, but John now still wants out. And that's a little bit of, not necessarily breaking news. If you woke up this morning, you probably did see that if you checked social media. But that's some information that we didn't have before. And now when you take that into consideration with John coming off a significant Achilles injury, is it in the best interest of the Wizards franchise going forward to keep him around? It's tough. John's been a great asset, obviously, to the team, and he's been an incredible player. He's an elite point guard, incredible speed, great passer, still working on his jump shot, done some good things in the community. But, you know, we saw the gang sign incident at some point in this summer, and he came out and apologized for it. But now that he wants out, on top of everything that we've now laid out, it's all on the table. It seems like it's actually a good jumping off point for both the team and John. Now John wants out. Okay, the Wizards were looking at their potential suitors for John. What could they get in back? I think it's time to make a move. And I would not have said that 3 or 4 days ago. I think it's time to make a move. And Tommy Shepard, the GM, replaced Ernie Grunfeld, was brought in to actually shake up the team a little bit. That's something that Ernie never did. Never shook up the team. Always went back at it with the same guys. And it never worked. This John, Brad, and at one point they obviously had Marcin Gortat and Paul Pierce was along for the ride. And, you know, Otto Porter was there. Right? What happened to Otto Porter and Kelly Oubre? We know Oubre recently just got traded. But that team didn't... They achieved just as much as the Arenas, Jameson, and Caron Butler teams did, who were a lot of fun to watch, right? And those teams often got knocked out by LeBron and the Cavs. If they're not achieving what you had hoped that they would achieve, right, this is the way the business works. It's probably time to move on. And now that John wants out too, I honestly think that it's the perfect opportunity. You can make both sides happy. You can give John a chance at revitalizing his career somewhere else. In the NBA, guys usually don't spend their entire careers on one team. Kobe was a very unique example to have his entire career played with the Lakers. And there were times that he considered requesting a trade, but he ultimately stayed. And he tried recruiting guys to LA too. Remember when David Stern overruled the Chris Paul deal? So I think it's inevitable at this point. I think it's inevitable, but I also think it's time, and I think it could be a good thing. You know, I'll miss John. There's been some great moments, but I think this is an opportunity that could really work out for both sides. If it's Russell Westbrook and it's Houston and they're able to make that deal and they ship somebody else out, by all means. I don't think I would I don't think I would trade away a draft pick for it, because Russ is 30 and his game is predicated on speed and explosiveness and getting to the rim, because he's not necessarily an elite shooter either. And now maybe in 5 or so years, he's really going to start to taper off in terms of how explosive he can be. Unless, you know, he's an albatross like LeBron and he can just continue to play at the highest level in the world well into his 30s, now into the later stages of his 30s. They can move on from John, but they can also do it without caution. And that's not what can happen if they want to actually be relevant in the Eastern Conference again. Because you got Bradley Beal, and he's a stud. He's turning into an all-NBA-type player. A lot of people would tell you he was an all-NBA-type player this season. It's really hard to say that he wasn't an all-NBA-caliber player when you look at his stats. But the Wizards have been bad. Be interesting to see Scottie Brooks reunite with Russell Westbrook too. I don't know. Whoever they get a deal done with, if John wants out, he's coming off this Achilles injury, it makes sense to me to move on. Make the deal, but don't make a stupid deal. Make sure that you're not only getting good assets in return, but you're also not giving up too much if you're going after a guy like Westbrook and you have to kind of punch up. Let's step aside. We'll take another quick break. Plenty more to get to. You're listening to 106.7 The Fan. Believe it or not, there's actually a top 10 college football game happening right now in the Big Ten between number 3 Ohio State and number 9 Indiana. 7-0 lead for the Buckeyes. 5:55 to go in the first quarter. I saw the numbers on this game, and I want to say, I'm going to look it up right now, because I want to say that Ohio State was something like close to 3 touchdown favorites. And I thought that that number was huge. Not that I don't think that they're going to win this game. They are at home. But Indiana's played pretty well, at least well enough for me to feel like that they could keep it within 3 touchdowns here. If we're talking about wagering on some games on a Saturday, ladies and gentlemen, and that's pretty standard content here on 106.7 The Fan, is it not? 21-point favorites Ohio State closed at least according to ESPN here, Ryan. That's a big number. And now near the end of the first quarter, Indiana does have the ball. I think that they're going to keep it close. Again, if I were wagering on this game in particular, my money would have been on Indiana there.
I mean, weren't they like a 20.5-point favorite too?
Yeah, and it
or,
went
it Ohio was, State.
Well, it was 20.5 when I was looking last night, and it went up to 21 today.
Oh, so easily. I would have taken 20.5.
I mean, Ohio State's really good, and the Buckeye, they've got Justin Fields. They're explosive. I don't see them losing here in the regular season, the Big Ten Championship. Whatever the college football playoff is going to look like, I think that they'll be there. But Indiana surprised people. They're 4-0. They're the number 9 team in the country. I don't know. I just would have been thinking Hoosiers can keep this one close, because they could lose by, you know, 17. It could be 42-25 or something like that, and they're covering the spread relatively comfortably there. So we'll monitor that game going forward. A few more college football games in action as we speak. None of them are that good, though. And remember, Virginia Tech pregame coverage is coming up at 2:30. Show question today on 106.7 The Fan. I'm curious, how does everybody feel about the new Capitals jerseys? Yeah, those new Capitals jerseys. We don't have games to talk about just yet with the Caps, but hopefully not too soon after the start of the new year. Maybe even before that, we've got hockey again. Do you love or do you hate the new jerseys? The reverse retro alternate. Each team in the NHL got one. I'll say this. I'm already on the mailing list to find out when they go on sale. I've been looking at getting a Caps sweater for a while, and I just never pulled the trigger. And as you can imagine, it's because they're ridiculously expensive. But as I was explaining to my girlfriend, and Ryan, maybe you'll agree with me on this, those NHL sweaters are the closest things to what the players are actually wearing on the ice relative to the rest of professional sports and the merchandise that you can buy. The sweaters are the most realistic ones because you're not going to find anything close to a real NFL jersey. If any of you out there have put on a real football jersey, you know that it's almost skin tight against your arms and your chest and everywhere else. And that's by design. It's so you can't get held. It's to try and prevent holding or anything like that. You don't want to put yourself in a position to get a penalty. In the NBA, it's not really any better. You know, the jerseys look completely different. So, and it's not, Major League Baseball is probably a close second, I guess, in terms of the jerseys you can buy, but it's still not the same thing. So that's, in my opinion, why I believe that the sweaters are the most realistic. And of course, the thing that makes these special are the Screaming Eagle, the callback to the 90s, the mid-90s, the first Stanley Cup run that the Caps made. The Screaming Eagle is not in the traditional blue and gold and white and black as it was on the original jerseys, but now it's red, white, and blue. And I think it's awesome. I think it's so cool. And as someone that grew up in the 90s, born in 1993, surely that has something to do with it, right? I think everybody is kind of partial to things that remind them of happy times, you know? And in growing up, that was one of those things for me, so I really like that. Now, I see we have a caller here, and I want to make sure that we get to them, but I'm having a little bit of trouble ensuring that happens because I've got a little bit of a technical issue here with my computer. So, Ryan, if you want to punch them through for me, that is totally fine. Just let me know who we have right now.
We got Jonathan in Fairfax.
All right, Jonathan in Fairfax. What's up, man? Thanks for calling. How are you?
Hey, no problem. Thanks for taking the call, Danny.
Yeah.
So I got a Wizards trade for you with John Wall. So the Wizards need, in my opinion, a truly legitimate power forward, not like a tweener like maybe this Denny or even Rui.
Sure.
So I would trade John Wall to Orlando, and I would throw in either Robinson or Brown, and maybe a number one.
Okay, and then who are we getting back?
Gordon and Fournier.
Okay.
And they're both on the market. Both on the market, according to Orlando.
Okay. All right, Jonathan, I'd like the call there. Now, Eric Gordon down there in Orlando, too, has had a very nice couple of seasons. And it's interesting, though, that Jonathan zooms in on the power forward position. I get what he's saying because Rui and Denny, these two guys are more of the stretch fours, right? They're small forwards, generally, but then they could play four with their size in certain lineups depending who's on the floor. I wouldn't necessarily mind that. You know, I don't know if it's enough though. I don't know if getting those guys is enough in return for somebody like John Wall. When he's been healthy, and Aaron Gordon, by the way, not Eric Gordon. I've got my head in thinking of two different Gordons here. But Aaron Gordon's a lot younger, at just 25 years old. I might have to bite the bullet on that one. The thing is, I'm not going to be too gung-ho on some of these trades because when a guy wants out, to me, there's no reason to keep him around. I mean, this is the same thing. This is the same way that I felt with Washington and Dwayne Haskins. At this point, with Dwayne Haskins, he doesn't mean anything to the Washington football team anymore. And that's not saying that, you know, he's did something wrong. Obviously, he's not living up to what they would have hoped that he would be. But that when they took the starting job away from Dwayne Haskins, they didn't just bench him. They sent him down to the practice squad. They gave the job to Kyle Allen. They gave the backup job to Alex Smith, and they deactivated Dwayne Haskins. And then Dwayne Haskins said that he wanted a trade. I would have given him up for anything, any draft pick, anything, because at that there's no value anymore. Unless there's something that we don't know with Haskins and the market for him right now, because it doesn't seem to be very good. I would have given him up for anything. But that's how I think the situations are slightly different between the Wizards and Washington football, because John Wall has all-star game appearances and leading the league in assists and actual tangible results to attach to his career. He was a very good player. You cannot say the same about Dwayne Haskins. So be careful here. Aaron Gordon, though, okay. Along with some other assets. I don't know if I give up the one. I don't know if I give up the one in that scenario. I might find a way if they're willing to ship Gordon here for Wall, I think you try and give up a little bit less in terms of a draft pick. So let's step aside. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll finish up the first hour of the show here on 106.7 The Fan. Because of the virus right now, I had to double check and see if Alabama was one of them. And they actually do play today. Crimson Tide get Kentucky. Number one team in the country, 6-0, Kentucky 3-4, 4 o'clock kickoff right there. Danny Noakes, 106.7 The Fan. We're with you up until 2:30. That's when a little more college football coverage comes your way, but it will be in the form of Virginia Tech pregame coverage with the voice of the Hokies, John Lazor, Tech Hall of Famer Mike Burnup, Wes McElroy on the sidelines. 2:30 pregame, 4 o'clock kick, Virginia Tech at the Pittsburgh Panthers. We've got about 4 minutes left here in this hour before we throw it over to hour two, the 1 o'clock hour. We'll be talking to Dwight Vick, former Virginia Tech offensive lineman, do a little college football next. But right now, I want to go back over to the phones, the AAA Always On Call listener line, where we will welcome in Dylan, who is in D.C. Dylan, thanks so much for calling, man. How's everything going today?
Good. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah. What do you got for us?
So I was going to bring up the Nats in regards to this upcoming season. So 2019, you win the World Series. Last year, you have one of the worst records in baseball. Where do you go from there?
It's a good question, and I think most Nats fans are wondering the same exact thing. Where do you go after such a disappointing season? And, you know, the good thing is that they still got Rizzo, the guy that can – the architect of the championship team and the guy that I think is good at plugging holes when one right. opens up on the roster. And it happened with Bryce Harper, and Washington was able to fill that hole. Now, when it happened with Anthony Rendon – it wasn't as easy as them to fill the hole, but Starlin Castro was playing really well. He was having a great offensive season, not as sharp in the field.
Hurt.
Yeah, and then he gets hurt, and they lose him. And on top of losing Strasburg and other guys, you know, they had some misfortune come their way this year. You know, there was a lot of luck involved in that World Series run that they made. So I think they've made a lot of the right moves. But now they really need to find a fixture at third base to replace Anthony Rendon before they can, you know, start re-signing guys like Trey Turner, who they really need to keep here long term.
Yeah, because I'll tell you one thing. I definitely don't think Keyboom's long-term answer.
No,
at third.
I agree with you. And I like Keyboom. He's flashed, but you're right. He's just not consistent enough yet.
Yep, I would have to agree. And then I've heard rumblings about Chris Bryant trades, and I've heard rumblings about signing with Mayhew. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I like the ideas of both of them, but it worries me that we lose Trey.
Yeah, yeah, and that's what would worry me too, Dylan. If you're going to bring in Chris Bryant and it means that you're going to lose Trey, I don't think it's worth it. I think Trey Turner is one of the most valuable players in the league right now with what he can do at the plate, with what he can do on the bases, with what he can do on the field. I think he's a five-tool player, and you can't let a five-tool player walk out of your building like that.
Absolutely. I would have to agree.
And the last thing I'll say before I let you go, Dylan, I'm told you're a Yankees fan. Is that correct? A partial Yankees fan, at least?
Right.
So you bring up DJ LeMahieu. I saw that he declined their $18.9 million qualifying contract offer, but he has said that he wants to stay there in New York, if not with the Yankees, then with the Mets. So if he leaves, will you be offended at all?
I mean, if he leaves, I'll be hurt. But if he goes to the Mets, I'll be really hurt. I've heard a lot that the main problem is that he wants 5 years and the Yankees only want to give three. So I'm hoping that we meet him in the middle and go four.
Okay.
He's a little old, but, I mean, he's been our best player the last 2 years. We can't – I don't want to lose him.
327 average in 2019, and then he led the majors with a 364 average and the American League with a 1.011 OPS. Those are pretty good numbers for a guy that's in the advanced stages of his career. Dylan, thanks so much for the call, man. Appreciate you hanging out with us for a little bit. We'll talk to you again soon, buddy.
For sure. Thank you both.
Yep, you got it. Dylan in D.C. with a great call right there. And good stuff on the Washington Nationals. A little blip on DJ LeMahieu, who was with the Yankees. Will he be with the Yankees going forward? We don't know. It's funny. I already have this in my notes, Ryan. I'm going to ask RJ Anderson of CBSSports.com's Major League Baseball all of these same questions when he joins us at the bottom of the next hour because, yeah, if Chris Bryant were to come to D.C., that would be pretty big news. But, like I said, if it means Trey Turner's going to walk out the door, not worth it. Not worth it. Book it. All right, let's get out of here. Hour one in the books. Hour two up next. You're listening to 106.7 The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.